The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not again laying the foundation of repentance from dead works, and faith towards God, of doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And then it goes on to talk a little bit. But what I really want to talk about this morning is our works, that there is in salvation in Christ Jesus, one of the foundation, one of the very elementary things, this is beginner's 101 in the Christian walk, okay? I think it was Vince Lombardi that kept emphasizing to his Green Bay Packers, the fundamentals, you know, always let's get the fundamentals. We can sometimes get tripped up because the things that we know too well become overfamiliar and they don't become a big deal anymore. I tell you, this is still a big deal, that one of the fundamentals in the body of Christ, in this walk with Christ, is a repenting, turning from having a change of heart and mind and direction concerning dead works. What are dead works? They're works that don't have life in them. They're works that don't have the fragrance of Christ on them. They're works that just don't yield any fruit in the long term. They're works that are absolutely useless when it comes to eternal matters. Can I encourage you? Dead works is just something that we have the privilege of turning from. How many want to end up your days and just understand that everything that you did was for the purpose of something that is just dead? Would that be a tragedy? I mean, come on. Is the life of Christ in you more real than that? Is the life of Jesus more real? Is the hope that's in you greater than that? And yet the enemy keeps wanting to whisper things in our ears that keep wanting to draw us and say that there's such value in these works over here. Now, everything that you do in the flesh isn't necessarily dead works, okay? I mean, it's like there are the mundane things of life that we have to do. In other words, you don't have to get up tomorrow morning and pray whether you should change the baby's diaper or not. Right? You don't need to get up in the morning and pray, should I go to work today or shouldn't I? Is this going to be a live day or a dead day? See, it's not the what you do as much as it is how you do it. I do encourage you to get up in the morning and pray, how am I going to serve my family and change baby diapers, make meals, do all the laundry, do the things that seem to be mundane. I'll tell you, that transfers, the attitude of your heart transfers it from a dead work to a faith work. Does that make sense? You're going to the job tomorrow. It's not whether or not you go, it's how you go. See, what I'm finding in this life is, and what God has been challenging me with so many times, is, Dave, what's the attitude of your heart? Dave, what are the motivations of your heart? Dave, do you want to see people healed? Do you want to see people delivered? Do you want to see people set free so that you can have a self-vindication of your ministry? Now, that maybe that sounds weird to you guys, but I'll tell you what, that's a very real thing that I have to encounter on a day-to-day basis, that I do not want, because of my own insecurities, because of my own stuff, to be the motivation for why I want to see revival happen, why I want to see the demons, why I want to see our nation restored, why I want to see every one of you running with all your might in the glory of Jesus, you know. And I have to get up in the morning, and I can do the same thing that one day can be a dead work because of the arrogance and the pride of my own heart. And the next day, of life, of faith. Does that make sense? Okay. So we repenting, we're turning from dead works. This is foundational, and we're turning into faith. It says repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I want to talk a little bit this morning about our works. Your works matter. In fact, if you follow through the scripture, there is just a lot of discussion about the works that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And at the end of this thing, we are going to receive a reward. How many like rewards? Come on, don't pretend it's unspiritual to like rewards. You know, this is a spiritual deal. You know, in fact, in Hebrews 6, it says that he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is God. Number two, believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, your diligent seeking this morning has a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's not an empty hope. Your this plastering of your heart, the things that we do week by week by week, I love it when God just chooses to minister some things during worship. How many know that this was an encounter this morning in worship? I want an encounter in worship. I don't want to just come and sing some songs, even though God is so worthy of that. But I have a foundational belief system, something that's just so deep-rooted that I can't get rid of it. And that's that worship is a two-way street. That there is a pursuing in worship, and there is a being caught in worship. How many got caught this morning? Doesn't that make it all? I mean, come on. That's just good stuff. Yeah, I feel like you, Renee. You're just kind of... That's what I feel. Last thing I want to be doing is preaching right now. No, I'm serious. This God of ours is so encounterable and so loving. And not all of you will react the way I react. And that's okay. That's all right. None of you are going to look like me, do what I do. That's all right. Holy Spirit is so wise to move among us and to do things specifically in individual hearts according to his liking. And I just love that. We give him freedom. I want to look at, we're still talking about works here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, the foundation of Christ, our relationship with Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each one's work will be clear. For the day, and that's talking about the great white throne judgment. We'll look at that a little bit later on. The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Wow. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. I really need to move along quickly. Good news. How many have some works that you really aren't that proud of? Anybody got some works that you're not proud of? What does it say here? That work will be burned. I don't know about you, that's good news. To me, that's really, really good news. There is stuff that haunts you from your past, and it's stuff that is burnable. It's stuff that does not exist in eternity. It's stuff that, when it all comes down, it really is not going to matter in the long run. It's going to burn. Now, it doesn't mean that sin doesn't have consequences. I understand all that. But how many are just glad that there is a scripture that you know, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that there are going to be two books opened. And this is good news for us. One of them is going to be, is your name written there? If your name is not written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and you're not sure that you know 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 that, please talk to me. Because there is no reason in the economy of God's grace that you don't know that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that your heart can be perfected in love. That the torment of a future standing before God in judgment is a fearful thing. Okay, but it's also good news that our works, there's another book that's going to be opened. And that book is going to be testimony of everything that we've done. Now that might be scary to some, right? Except that I'm not sure what that looks like. See, I don't know if those works are already burned. I don't know if those works are going to be shown to us in a quick blip and then burned. I'm not really sure how that works. All I know is that I will spend an eternity where some of my works have been burned, forgotten, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, and some of that stuff is gone. How many know that's good news? That's good news to me. I really want to at least turn to the scriptures that I have really a bad habit of just quoting scriptures rather than allowing you to see them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. How many want to be well-pleasing to your daddy in heaven? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I trust are well known in your consciences. So there is a bit of a terror, that a responsibility that Paul felt in preaching the gospel. And there was a bit of a fear. You know, what I do as a minister of the gospel, I am very, very concerned that I am preaching an accurate word of God. And I tell you, when you're preaching the word of God, and when you feel that weight, that responsibility for ministering the word of God, you have to wade through a lot of stuff. You wade through traditions of men that seem so good. You wade through your own prejudices. You wade through your own mindsets. You wade through a lot of stuff. And that's why, you know, for me, it's a big deal to be very accurate with the word that I'm preaching, the word that I'm teaching. It's important to me to have guys around me, my elders, Pastor Bob, many of you who will dare to challenge me. The first person that will challenge me in the preaching of the word is my wife. She has direct access, and it's like, you know. And so there's a good fear that we have in preaching and in teaching the word of the Lord. But for you, there is also a fear. There's a proper fear of the Lord. And that fear is meant for safety. It's meant to keep you from the stuff that creates death in your life, in others' lives. You know, that there should be a fear. If you don't know the fear of bad choices, then there's something dead inside of you. Okay, so there is a proper place for fear. I want to look at Book of Revelation. We're going to read the Great White Throne Judgment. This is the day that was spoken about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their, what? Their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to what? Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who was thrown into the cast of the lake of fire? Hell and death. And then whoever's names were not written in the book of life. So, if you have your name written in the Lamb's book of life, and you're living a dirtbag life, well, that's nobody here, but you know what I'm saying. But let's say that there's somebody who, as far as the works category goes, they're on a zero. All right? But their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad I don't have to sort that out. I'm glad God gets to sort that out. Okay? Because there are scriptures in James, for instance, that says that without faith, work is dead. Your works are dead. You can have all the works, but James says, you show me your works without faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. faith and works are inseparable. So I don't quite know how somebody could stand and have a life that has not been changed before God. If your encounter with Jesus is very, very real, there has got to be a corresponding turning from dead works into faith works. All right? For me, that just makes sense. You can't have a heart transplant, a spiritual heart transplant, and keep loving the same things that you've always loved. Right? Okay. So, but there are going to be those that are going to stand. We will all stand, and two books are going to be opened. I believe that we'll be part of that, that we'll be having our life judged with the book of works. Amen? Now, I think that's really good news. I think that I do more faith works by accident than I do on purpose. You know what I mean? If the love of Christ is in you, you have works written in the Lamb's book of works that you have forgotten about, that you aren't even aware how you touched somebody. You're not even aware where encouragement came through you and ministered to somebody. Time and again, somebody would come up to me and say, "Do you remember when you said?" And I was like, "Huh?" No, I don't remember when I said. There's going to be a revival of the good works, the times you got it right. Come on. And there's going to be reward for those works. This is just good news. You can't lose. As a believer in Jesus Christ, where you have been born again by the Spirit of God, there is nothing to lose. Now there are, however, things that you can gain. There are ways that you can apply yourself to good works. When we talk about revival this morning, and I don't know if you heard it, but I heard the challenge in that word about the impending revival. And the if I can put it in my terms, it was count the cost. Because revival will cost you something. This move of God that we're talking about will cost you something. You know, if you're here this morning and you think, well, it's just a free ride, it's you know, can I encourage you? Can I just really just let you know that revival will cost you something? It'll cost you pride. It'll cost you your dignity. It'll cost you your sin. It'll cost you just a lot of stuff that Jesus has already paid for it. All right, we just got to give it to him. Amen. Well, Dave, we always talk about the rest. Yeah, that's the only way to enter into rest, is to give it all to Jesus. To live a life that you were destined for. To live the life that you were created for. To walk in the character and the nature of Jesus that is now more your character and nature than you realize. See, it's unfamiliar territory for you now to walk in an unruly way. That's like Cullen putting on my grandson's clothes. They just flat out don't fit. You're created to be clothed in Christ. You're created to walk in Christ. You're created for the purpose of good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. You are created in Christ Jesus. You're God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? For the purpose of good works. What good works? The ones that have been formulated from before the foundation of the earth. One last scripture I want to close with. And this is just a fun revelation I had one day as I was reading the Word. And we'll close with this. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7, 8, and 9. This is written. Babylon has just fallen. How many know Babylon? It is a spiritual city that is being built. There are people building the city of Babylon. It's a economic, it's a political, it's a cultural reality in the spirit realm right now. This city of Babylon. And it is everything that opposes the truth of God. But it's a city that's being built. Can I just say that, well, let's read here. Chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Like we did this morning. I love that. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That phrase caught my attention one time as I was reading. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Do you know that your righteous acts, your good works right now are weaving a red wedding dress? This is eternal stuff. This is a reality. Every righteous act of the saint is contributing to building something. It's weaving a wedding dress. I believe it's building the New Jerusalem. I believe it's building a future kingdom. Every righteous act that you do makes a difference in eternity. It's not just for the purpose of your reward. Reward's great. Like, come on, repeat after me. I want some reward out of this deal. There, now don't allow the religious spirit to shame you with that. I want some reward out of this deal. But I want the reward so I can cast it at the feet of Jesus. And I want the reward to build a kingdom whose builder and foundation is God. And there's doesn't have foundations. And it's a kingdom that can't be described with words. And I want these good works to build a wedding dress that one day I'll be part of a body, a bride that's going to put it on. This fine linen, white and clean. Oh, but I don't feel like I'm worthy of that kind of a dress. Well, Jesus makes you worthy. And your righteous acts. I tell you, this is more than just being a good Christian and doing good. Your righteous deeds have an effect in eternity. Come on. That's good news. Your worship this morning was part of building a wedding dress. Every person that took a risk coming up to the microphone, and that is a risk, believe me, I know, took a risk, and you built something in the spirit realm. Every joyful shout, every cheer, every time you opened up your heart to receive something that God was trying to give you, do you know that that's even a righteous act? Can you imagine receiving a present and it's a righteous act that is building eternity? Your life is so much more valuable than you've ever understood. The things that you do in this body are so much more valuable and so much bigger than anything we've ever comprehended. See, I don't want to wait till eternity to find out. I want to live my life in a way now that is already building something in the spirit. And it doesn't just build an eternity. You sow and you reap. You sow good things. You sow good works in this body now. And you'll even reap those things in this body. But I just want us to understand what you're part of is eternal. It's got to be real. Eternity. The things of the Spirit have got to be real. How many just want to, at about this point in the sermon, you feel like just chucking the old religious mindset and throwing it away and putting on the mind of Christ? The things in eternity that are valuable, these works, these good works, they're not easy. How many know that Jesus didn't have an easy time in the garden about the work that he was going to do? Let's stand together. We're going to open up the altar. If you would like prayer, if you need physical healing, emotional healing, anything that you need, even if this service for you was a little bit of a challenge where you just need some encouragement, come on up to the altar. We'll have teams up here that'll pray. But did you hear the promise today? That the change that happened in here today wasn't going to be forgotten on Monday. Do you remember that word that came? That was a promise that I grabbed onto. That the things that happened here today, the encounters that we've had here today, are meant to stay with us when we're away from this place. They are life-changing in nature. Believe it. Trust it. Live in such a way that your works will make a proclamation in eternity. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we are face to face with eternal issues here this morning. And it's just so good. The things that are unseen are the things of your kingdom. The things that are unseen are the things that last forever. Father, I thank you that even now you started a mindset shift in a body of believers to see the eternal things, walked out in the natural, in this body, but walked out with eternal destiny and purposes in mind. And we say yes in Jesus' name. Amen.